After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
So much happening across Scotland today. Lots of exciting games on the go. We had some good results in the top flight. We had a league winner as well in Falkirk. They've clinched League One. We'll be playing in the Championship next season. There was a win for Rangers against Hibs. Dundee beat St Johnstone away from home. A draw between Motherwell and St Mirren. A draw between Hearts and Kilmarnock. And a big win for Aberdeen against Ross County. And we want to hear what you made of it all. 0141 951 1025. We're here until 6 o'clock to get your opinions in. And what was a good day of Scottish football here?
Yeah, excitement everywhere. Top and bottom. Rangers now go ahead of Celtic. You could argue about Livy, three games won all season long, but they can, from time to time, be a thorn in Celtic's side. Brendan Rodgers can't afford tomorrow to be one of those days. Down at the bottom, remarkable crowd at Aberdeen. You know, almost 18,000 people for a team who have had a shocker of a season. But today sees them go on the up, and I am certain that by the time Aberdeen play next weekend, a new manager will be in place. So it's been a very good day for them, and a great day for Tony Docherty, who goes top six with Dundee at the expense of Hibs, who really, apart from their goal, had very little to offer at Ibrox.
Important for Rangers to get that victory over Hibs for two reasons. One, to go back to the top of the table, and two, because there's a big game next weekend that they couldn't have gone in to with a poor result.
Oh, without doubt, momentum goes a long way in this game, and particularly at this time of the season. So it was hugely important that Rangers won the game, got the 3 points. But by all accounts, it was a good performance as well, and that always helps along the way. And for Philippe Clement, we'll probably hear, but I think by all accounts, to come through the game without any injuries in a season that's plagued him with injuries will be a bonus as well. So he'll look forward to having almost a full squad ahead of that one. And again, over to tomorrow, Brendan Rodgers, what kind of team will he field? Will it be one with next week in mind, or will it be strongest 11 he can possibly field and then hope that he gets the 3 points and picks up no injuries also? So it's been a good day of football though. Big win again for Aberdeen, but for Dundee, well done to them. You know, moving into top six, not an easy job that for Tony Dock, and he deserves a plaudits today, certainly.
What were the big results for you?
I think obviously the top of the league, because that's where we're all concentrating now. It's so exciting. I think it was a case of Rangers just getting 3 points. I thought it'd be tight. Yeah, they got the third goal later on, Matondo coming on. I thought it was a positive day for Rangers, and the fact that some of their big hitters are coming back now, they're getting more quality to pick from. Dessers gets an important goal, gives him that confidence for next week. Terrific ball from Cantwell. So I think it was a good day for Rangers. I agree with the lads. Aberdeen, it was a very important win for them. If you look down the bottom now, St Johnstone, Ross County, Livingston, pick your two from three. Obviously we all fancy Livingston to finish bottom, and then as I say, Kilmarnock, Hearts, top four, very good. And Tony Docherty, Dundee, what a terrific job. And Motherwell, St Mirren draw, but big result in the Championship as well. Could go a long, long way. Well done to Jim Goodwin and Dundee United this afternoon.
0141 951 1025 is the best way to get in touch. Frank is a Rangers fan up first in the city centre. Frank, what did you take away from that victory today?
Well, what I would like to ask you, Mark, what did they think of the referee today? What would they give him out of 10? Because quite literally, some of his decisions were bizarre.
What in particular, Frank?
I maintain the penalty should have been retaken. Now, this guy apparently has come up with another excuse to say that when a player infringed, so he was going to give the award to Hibs. Now, I think even Hibs players were astonished at that.
So the rule, I'll read you the rule, Frank, on encroachment. So if the encroachment is by an attacking player, so say Scott Wright is the player that had encroached or adjudged to have encroached, if the penalty is scored, the penalty is retaken. If the penalty isn't scored, then it's an indirect free kick to the opposition. So James Tavernier didn't score. Yes, the rebound went in, but because James Tavernier didn't score the penalty and Scott Wright was the player that was adjudged to have encroached, then by the laws of the game, it is an indirect free kick to Hibs.
Well, I would dispute that because quite literally...
I mean, it's the laws of the game, Frank.
You can't dispute the laws of the game. Otherwise, do we go?
Hugh. The same referee gave two drop balls to Hibs when the Rangers were in possession of the ball and it was their drop kick. So he gave them to Hibs.
Anyway, my interpretation was that I didn't think it was a penalty at all in the first place. I thought it was one of those decisions that there's an arm, an extended arm. It caught John Souza, but for me, it wasn't a penalty. However, the referee gave it, and the encroachment surprised me as well, because I cannot. It's like a blanket finish at the Grand National or something. I don't know how you prove encroachment on the part of the Rangers player. So, in that particular incident, I think he got mixed up. I didn't think it was a penalty. I didn't think encroachment was on either.
They'll have a better view than sort of anyone in the stadium or any other sort of angles that people see, because people, I know people will be able to get angles from you know, club TV channels, but Frank, it's not always the correct point. What VAR will look at is the correct point. They'll be able to zoom in and draw along that line.
Yeah, but Frank asked what Mark and I thought of these. So obviously Frank has an ulterior motive. He thinks that Mark and I are going to find in favour of the referee and against Rangers. But as I say, I can only answer honestly. That fragment of play was the only thing that would cause me concern. I thought otherwise the referee had a simple match, and that Rangers were convincing winners, as we thought they would be.
Thank
you. If a referee makes a decision like that, next week another referee will make another decision. They're totally inconsistent.
I understand that, Frank, but such is life. I mean, you've got it in one. Another incident of that type will occur next week. Another man will give another type of decision. I do not dispute a single word you're saying, but such is life in football.
What did you make of the performance, Frank?
I thought we played well within ourselves. We're getting players back just now, players that are going to be important to us. It's a squad. The squad's going to be important. The manager's changing players at the right time. They look fresh. And next week's going to be the decider. If Celtic can get a victory at Ibrox, which they could do because they're no mugs, they've been there before and they've did the business, then it's all to play for. If Rangers go 5 in front, then in my opinion, it's game over. That's my opinion.
Is that the type of performance that gives you confidence going into next week?
I think we're playing within. We're waiting for next week. Next week's going to be the decider as far as I'm concerned. Even if they draw the game at Ibrox, I still think Rangers have got the upper hand, because if it goes to the game at Parkhead, then Celtic will not be too happy at Rangers even needing a draw to win the league, and they'll be nervous. So it's all to play for. I think Rangers are playing well within themselves. It's all the results are going to come. I think
to use the only cliche applicable here, you can only take it game at a time, because Rangers now on 73 points, Celtic on 71. Tomorrow, the assumption has been made that Celtic will go to 74 points and be a point above Rangers. But assumptions might be dangerous, and they are certainly premature. We'll need to see what happens tomorrow. We can only go one game at a time. The only thing we know is that Rangers are on 73 points and Celtic are on 71. End of conversation until we find out what happens tomorrow in Livy.
Getting the win is a big thing, but getting through the game unscathed as well, you know, what's that, 7 days out from a game against Celtic, how important is that as well?
Massive, because it's been highlighted that, you know, the manager keeps coming out every week and thinking, what's happening here? Because it's injury after injury after injury, key players. He likes to rotate, he likes that big squad, he likes to keep everybody in their toes. And when you get injuries to key players, that doesn't happen. Today, I highlighted it. Have a look at Rangers' bench. It was probably strongest it's been for a long time. Competition for places. It's at the right time. Business end of the season, as we call it. So I think that Rangers have had a good day. Will he complain about one or two things? Probably the way they gave up the goal. Of course he will. But to win 3-1, get the 3 points, that's what it's all about.
Frank, was it good to see Abdallah Sima back in the park? How did he look?
I must say, he looked great. But as I say, the manager's changed the whole psyche at Rangers. It's a team effort. And it maybe not be Seaman next week. It'll score the goal. It could be someone else. It could be Kamar Roof, because we're relying on the squad. It's a squad game, and the manager's installed that into them. And we very rarely are losing goals. So I'm quite happy about the way it's going.
The story of the season, if Rangers win the league, will be about Philippe Clement, because he took over a chaotic situation and he transformed the team. And as Frank said, he has transformed the psyche as well, the iron will that I spoke about at halftime at Ibrox. If Rangers win the league, the story will be the man Clement from Belgium.
It's probably the strongest the Rangers bench has looked in a while, Mark. There is then Kamar Roof, who wasn't in the squad today, who could well return to the squad. There's Ridvan Yilmaz, who Philippe Clement says, you know, they'll assess next week, but could well be involved in that game against Celtic as well. It seems to be, the squad seems to be coming together at the right time.
Well, it certainly does. You look at the big players as well. You know, Raskin's had these injury problems this season. He's back in the bench. But I think most people's eyes are drawn to the top end of the pitch, particularly Sima. Sterling, I would class him as a top end of the pitch player now because of the performances he's put in. He's back. McCausland as well. You know, his injury last week was described as complex, was it, by Michael O'Neill? Yep. But he's back, he's on the bench and he takes part.
He also
today
went on to say that he didn't want him to be on the bench and then come off the bench and look uncomfortable. So it wasn't as if he was saying that, you know, he felt it was a long injury. It was more that, I don't know whether he felt the situation was complex and maybe they didn't want to be the ones to substitute him on and cause further injury at a big time in the season.
Again, he's a player that, by the way, I thought he did okay in the first 45 minutes against Celtic earlier on the season. But you look at Lawrence, you look at Cantwell getting game time again. Rangers squad looking pretty strong at the minute. So Clement will be happy. He's got an awful lot of decisions to make, and maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago he might have thought the opposite. Maybe he thought it would be a skeleton squad and he's going to have to put a couple of those younger players that we saw in some of the previous games on the bench. He's got a strong enough team now.
Well, thank you to Frank. Give us a call, 01419511025. We can get more of your thoughts and we'll start hearing from some of the managers of today's games next.
The games are over, the talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Taking more of your calls until 6 o'clock on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. 0141 951 1025 is how you get in touch. There was a title win, as we mentioned earlier on, for Falkirk as well. That is it's a big one for them as well. 5 years in League One is a long, long time. They could have won it last weekend, didn't quite manage it because Hamilton got the win, but they've got over the line this time.
Yeah, they've been misplaced persons. Falkirk are a big club in Scottish football. They have a big fan base. To be in the third tier and for as long as they were there was a sad story. But now John McGlynn has written a positive chapter, and the only way is up for them. They're into the Championship, they'll get terrific crowds, and they'll be a welcome addition to that league.
Yeah, any Falkirk fans out there, give us a call, 01419511025. Let's speak to Richie, who's a Rangers fan in Hamilton. Richie, what did you take away from that game today?
How you doing, guys, first of all? One of the main things, I mean, I've lost my voice from shouting so much, mainly at Dickinson. I thought, you said that he had quite a simple day. I think he was nothing. He's actually nothing short of simple. Four times Rangers were in possession of the ball, and he blew up for say a clash of heads or something. But Rangers had the possession. The ball was then given back to Hibs. There was one time in particular the ball was going out wide. It was going out for a throw in, a Rangers throw in. The two players were on the ground. He could have let the ball go out, blew for the throw, given the throw into Rangers, and went back for the clash of heads, because they were on the deck for maybe 10 seconds already. It was when he saw the ball going out, he blew up for the throw, he blew up for the clash of heads, went back, and then gave the ball back to Hibs. It also happened when Lawrence was on the attack as well. Lawrence was on the attack. We had the ball, he blew up, and then he gave the ball back to Marshall. I don't know what the rule is. Nobody inside the ground knew what the rule was. I was just wondering if you guys can shed any light on that.
I have to say, forgive me, but this is trivia. You know, Philippe Clement has taken Rangers back to the top of the league. He is on course for a treble. And we're going on about a man who I repeat, I think had a relatively simple afternoon. The afternoon was a bit Rangers recovering from the penalty miss and then the rebound goal from Scott Wright being chalked off because of encroachment, and the strength of will that Rangers showed. I have to say, the nitpicking, you haven't come on to give your team a bit of credit. You've come on to nitpick about things from a referee.
Listen, I'll give them all the credit in the world. I always do. I'm fully behind them. I have been since I was born. But those decisions could have cost us the game. If Rabbi Matondo doesn't come on and score an absolute screamer, we could have been punished for those decisions. If those attacking moments, then the ball was given back to Hibs and then they played out and scored, we'd be talking different here. We'd be talking all about the referee and those decisions. So it's not nitpicking. What I'm doing is I'm highlighting the inept level of Scottish football refereeing, and it is getting shocking.
But you are taking hypothetical situations to the extreme. Could have cost you the game. No. It couldn't. I mean, you're describing trivial incidents, and also, you again fail when you say it could have cost Rangers the game. Rangers won the game because they would not let anything get in their way, like a Hibs equaliser, like the penalty miss, like the rebound goal being struck off for encroachment. Rangers' strength of will got them the game. For me, I don't know the point he's trying to make here.
Is this maybe just a sign of how tight the title race is, that people in the next few weeks will start to pick up on absolutely everything, Mark?
Well, I don't think it's anything new. I think fans have been doing that all season, and you know, each supporter group will point at referees and say how inconsistent they are and how they've been done by certain decisions that has cost them points. But I've got to say, I'm with Hugh on this one, with Richie's point. He bringing up points of drop balls and asking us to comment.
And that's the thing, obviously, we don't see the footage. It's a Saturday, exactly, 3 o'clock kickoff, so we're not 100% sure. That obviously the rule is, if you know the referee has to stop play, then whatever team is in possession of the ball at the time should be given possession back, is the rule. So people, having seen the incidents, can then make up their minds based on that. What did you make of the performance, Richie, ahead of a big game next weekend?
I thought we were superb. I thought we were dogged at times, and whenever we started to let Hibs back into it, we managed to get a stranglehold of the game again. I thought it was a silly, sloppy goal to give away. I've seen us give goals like that away this season before, and you're kind of sitting there before half time thinking, oh no, here we go. But you know, the length of time it took to go to VAR for the penalty and for the encroachment kind of gave us that extra 7 minutes in the first half, and Dessel's done well to put it away. I think he missed a sitter in the second half that could have made it even more comfortable. I think, as I say, when we were in possession, when the game got stopped, there was a couple of, we were quite high intensity at the time. I'm gutted for Seema. I didn't bury that at the end. I thought that would have been a good way to go into next week, but I'm really positive. I think we can go up another gear. So it's a good game, 3-1, coming back for the international break, got legs and minutes in the legs, and I think we're looking comfortable with the players coming back from next week. I think we'll go and do the business, and we'll be 5 points ahead when we come the split.
Yeah, a big test of character when Rangers conceded that goal just at the start of injury time in the first half. I'm sure supporters would be looking on with keen interest to see how the players responded, because there are going to be these big moments in the next few weeks over and over again, you'd think, and they'll be encouraged by the fact that, you know, Rangers didn't let their heads go down. They got forward, and a real piece of quality, first of all, from Cantwell to play the ball in from the right, and then the Dessers header as well.
You could easily have looked at Rangers and thought, okay, we'll get them 1-1, sit down, have a chat with the manager, change one or two things, come out in the second half. They've still got 45 plus minutes at home against Hibs. You expect them to go and win the game, score goals, but it's just the strength of character. They go forward, they get that goal, they want that goal beginning at half time, they want to be leading at half time, put the pressure on Hibs. I think Rangers have had a real good day. I don't know about performances, I wasn't there. I just look at now, from now to the end of the season, it's about the points. The only thing I think would disappoint the manager slightly, and I'm saying very slightly, teams pride themselves and they work very hard in it, back fours and goalkeepers on clean sheets. I thought it was a sloppy goal to give away. but take nothing away from Rangers. They got the job done and they put a little bit of pressure on Celtic at Livingston tomorrow.
Richie, Rangers were looking quite bare in terms of personnel over the last few weeks just with injuries, but when you look at the players coming off the bench, Tom Lawrence, Rabbi Matondo comes on and scores, Abdallah Sima comes on after injury, Dujon Sterling off the bench, Ross McCausland as well. Is that great to see ahead of a busy run-in?
It's definitely all 100% positive. The players that came on did make an impact, and Big Dooge, he's unbelievable. He can play anywhere, honestly. If Butland went off injured, I think they'd put him in goals. He's absolutely superb, and he's done a great job at left back. I was a wee bit worried at Tav at the end, he kind of went down. I'm hoping it's more cramp than anything else, because he would be a big miss going forward to the end of the season. But listen, we're getting stronger and stronger, and as I say, the players coming back are going to be a massive impact. And I do think if we go on, you know, when we go and beat Celtic next Sunday, I think we can go on and win the league. I think that'll be the kickstart for us again. And we've got it in us. We've definitely got the players there to do it.
Thank you to Richie. Let's stick with the phones. Jack is a Rangers fan in Bayliston. Jack, what have you got for us tonight?
All right, panel. It's just a wee point I'd like to make, and I've heard a couple of fans on already complaining about the referee, and granted the refereeing performance wasn't great, but even with that, full credit has to go to the Rangers team today. Apart from the goal that we conceded, I thought they were terrific all over the pitch. I've seen a couple of man of the matches given to Tav and given to Dessers, but the two boys in the middle of the park, Diamandi and John Lundstrom, absolutely controlled that game. Both of them, complete and utter Rolls Royce performances. And I think that if we control the middle of the park like that against Celtic, I think we could be in for a good day. With the Rangers fans behind them, obviously no Celtic fans there, I think it's going to be one in the middle of the park, in my opinion.
How key could that area be next week, and with John Lundstrom and Mohamed Diamandi? Yeah. Maybe don't get the headlines that other players do at times because of the work they do in there, but could they be a big part of a potential Rangers victory next week?
Without doubt. I mean, it's a crucial area of the pitch, and an area where Celtic have been so strong over the years, with Callum McGregor dictating games, and the last one at Celtic Park, Callum McGregor was outstanding. But you've got to say Lundstrom is a player who has been transformed under Clement, and with Diamandi, since he's came to Scottish football, he's just taken, like, you know, a duck to water with it. And he sat in there beside Lundstrom. The two of them look a fit double act. They look powerful. I don't think they do anything too fancy. They allow those creative players in front of them to go and do their job. And if you're going to build any sort of sustained pressure on Celtic, you're going to have two capable midfielders able to hold the middle of the pitch for you. So they're playing very well at the minute, and that area, as I said earlier, is going to be crucial to who comes out of this game in top.
Jack, there had been a bit of talk over the international break about interest in John Lundstrom. I think it was from Trabzonspor. His contract's obviously up in the summer. Philip Clement was asked about it yesterday and said that he's confident that he'll sign a new deal. Says there's a lot of love on both sides, I think was the exact quote. Was that good to hear?
Definitely. I've seen an interview with John Lundstrom from maybe a couple of years ago. He's been battling over social media. And he turned around and said he would love to finish his career at Ibrox. So I think if there's a deal on the table for him, and if it's probably more than a year, I don't think he would have any problem in taking that deal. But I genuinely think it's crucial that we do keep him, not only for how good he's playing at the minute, but he does seem like a personality in the dressing room, and he seems like the kind of guy who will get the rest of his team absolutely up for games, like your Celtic game, or like your Hibs or your Aberdeen away. And you need characters in that dressing room to go and win leagues.
Out of the out-of-contract players in the summer, is he the one that Rangers need to keep a hold of most, Gordon?
Yeah, certainly the way he's playing just now. He's became a big, important part of the jigsaw under a new manager. There's no doubt about that. His form's been terrific. I agree with the caller there. It'll depend on the length of the contract, because he's a big hitter. Apparently, Ibrox, he's on a fair wage. He's at that stage of his career now that his next contract probably maybe his last at this level. So if he wants to finish his career at Ibrox, brilliant. If they can sit down, thrash out a deal. I just think if there'd be one stumbling block with players nowadays at the latter stages of their career, is how long the contract is. you know. And if Rangers and John Lundstrom can agree in that, I think he'll be a Rangers player until he finishes.
He's arguably the most improved player under Clement. And Clement,
Rick Van Yoma's in there as well.
Well, yeah, but I think Lundstrom on a consistent basis, and I think Clement admires him and understands the importance of him staying at Ibrox. Therefore, I take Dazzler's point about the length of the contract. Rangers will take that point on board as well, and a deal will be done.
Well, thank you to Jack. 01419511025. If you've got any more thoughts, let's start hearing from some of the managers, starting with Stephen Naismith.
I think for me, the hardest games to deal with are the ones after international breaks. As a player, as a coaching staff, it's really difficult because you four or five hour players didn't come back into training until Friday. But then also the intenseness of being international, you're travelling in into the game, I think that showed in our performance. We start the game really well. We ask the question, get in the front foot, attack. We get a goal at a good time. But then the wee moments when we did break through them, we just didn't have that sharpness. But it's difficult. To give all the players a lot of information yesterday, to then go into the game. I think even the goal summed it up. Shanks going through and goal, you think he's going to touch and finish. It gets away from him, but his intelligence to find the Kenneth is brilliant. But that was probably the biggest thing. We knew it was going to be a battle and a fight, and Kilmarnock are really good at what they do. They're direct. The one time we don't set up properly, they get their goal, but it's a brilliant finish from Arley, and it's having a really good season. The frustrating part is that we did have opportunities to them and maybe score a second. We didn't do it. But after the international break, another game's gone by, the teams haven't gained any ground, and that's a positive.
Well, they drew with Kilmarnock. Derek McInnes speaking about the fact that they secured their top six place with that draw.
To do it with two games to spare is testament to so much good work with the club, you know, particularly the players, but you know, my staff, the board, big effort. The club was in a poor place 3 years ago. Obviously, we came in just over 2 years ago and as a championship team and managed to get out of that first attempt, which wasn't easy, and it wasn't without its challenges. Last season, we were still punching and fighting and scraping to try and make sure we stay the Premier League team. So, you know, I think a lot of changes made in the summer. So a lot of good work done by a lot of good people, and we've managed to deliver a top six finish, which was terrific for us, you know.
I remember Derek McInnes saying at the start of the season that essentially their first season back in the Premiership was to just make sure they stay in the division and make sure that they're a solid Premiership side, and then in the summer really wanted them to kick on, and getting a top six place, securing that with a couple of games to go, is a big success story, isn't it?
They're a stable club again, and that's down to him. As he said, he took over a place that wasn't in the best of shape, and he has stabilised the entire club. So the league place speaks for itself. It's about hard work, good signings, consistency, and Derek McInnes can feel proud of himself.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. You know, one of our top managers in this country, and did it over a couple of clubs now. You looked at his teams with Aberdeen and where he got them to. But he highlights it perfectly there. Going to Kilmarnock, you know, in the Championship at the time, not an easy league to get out of. He manages to get them up and then, you know, consolidate them as a Premiership club. But to get them top six, he's a guy with a plan. And to be fair, he's right. He has been backed. But in management, it's all about how you coach your players and who you sign. And he's done both very, very well. Kilmarnock had a good side, and better things to come, I think, for Kilmarnock if Derek McInnes stays in charge.
You look at the squad as well. It's full of tried and tested Scottish Premiership players, players that Derek McInnes knows, ones that he knows can perform at this level. That's been really key to sort of getting a team that are capable of not just competing in the Premiership, but towards the top end.
Yeah, manager, you've got to give him credit. His eye for a player is very, very good. We said it earlier in the show about the strength of the bench as well. He's built a real good, solid squad there. He's moulded them into a very good side, and they deserve to be in the top six. They've been excellent this season. Their Achilles heel last year when they come up was their away form. They've turned that round. They're winning at home. They're going and getting good results away from home. They're playing good football. They're scoring goals. They've just got a good look about them, Kamarnock.
Well, Falkirk have started their title party early already. A goal up away to Montrose. Ross McKeever scoring in that game. We still want to hear from you though. 0141 951 1025.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here to take your calls. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on the game tomorrow as well. Celtic, of course, now in second place after Rangers' victory today against Hibs. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers has to say about that game tomorrow.
We seen only a few weeks ago that we played Livingston and they gave us a tough game. We were very good going forward in the game, but gave up too much on the other side. So that's something that we will need to be better in. But overall, I'm really happy with where we're at after the international break. Getting players back, the squad's looking strong, and the players have been really, really good in training, and we look to take that into the game. We know it'll be a challenge for us, as it always is at Livingston, but as you said, we played well there last time, and we look to do that again.
Brendan Rodgers saying it will be a challenge like it always is at Livingston. Does that still ring true, do you think?
Yeah, every game will be a challenge, but I don't think the days of thinking, oh, Livingston, difficult place to go to, are there. The table says it all. They're sitting down there. They'll probably be relegated. They're not. Well, they've won three games all season. You've got a Celtic team that know how important tomorrow is to get the 3 points going into next week's game. So I think that Celtic will go there. Brendan Rodgers talking about he's happy with the way the squad's coming along. He's getting some of his big players back as well. Be interesting in his lineup tomorrow. I think they'll have more than enough to take care of Livingston.
Is there just that added pressure to get the result? Yes, to go back ahead of Rangers in the league, but to make sure they get the win ahead of playing Rangers next Sunday.
Of course, we've said it all afternoon. When you get to this stage, it is about the result. That's the overriding thing. And, you know, you go to Livingston anyway, I don't think you're going to get a stellar performance from any side. But I would agree with Daz. Livingston, you know, isn't it a Livingston we've seen in previous seasons? Of conceded 52 goals, they're 10 points adrift at the bottom of the table. Yes, they gave Celtic a wee scare at Celtic Park, scored a couple of good goals in that occasion, but it's all about tempo for Celtic tomorrow, how they approach it, not allowing Livy just to sit in, because it's a narrow, smaller pitch and Livy can make it difficult. So if they manage to get an early goal, then it should be enough to see them through.
Andy is up next. He's a Rangers fan on the line. Andy, happy with today's performance?
Yeah, good evening. Professional, I think something we've struggled with in the past before Clement came in is coming back from any kind of break, international, winter, and performing. And again, that's a team that you would expect can do damage to either side of the Old Firm, and they never troubled us bar one blip that was of our own doing. I don't think Jack Butland had a save to make really the rest of the game. So yeah, it could have been 5 or 6 and should have been had the referee been more competent.
We're back to this referee that none of us noticed. But anyway,
look, in fairness, there are a lot of tweets coming in of Rangers fans that are unhappy with what the previous caller, who was it that was saying about the drop ball situation, unhappy with it. So it's certainly not gone unnoticed today. But I will say that, you know, we haven't seen those certain situations, but look, there are a lot of Rangers fans that are unhappy, that feel that, you know, the drop balls should have gone their way instead of the way of Hibs.
The caller said that the drop balls could have cost Rangers points. I disagree. Rangers got the points because, as Andy on the line has stated, they came out of the international break and they were bang on it, and they survived the whole mess around the penalty and the encroachment and all the Hibs equaliser. They overcame everything and they won convincingly, and Seema might have made it 4-1 right at the end. So for me, a more than comfortable afternoon, a more than optimistic outlook now for Rangers and their supporters where the Celtic game is concerned. And Clement will go away and come up with an 11 to start the game that will cause maximum difficulty to Celtic. But first of all, Celtic have to get Livingston out of the way.
Yeah, it's quite early to talk about team selection for next weekend, Andy, but with Seema coming off the bench, and I think he could have scored late on by the sounds of it from what Gabriel was saying, are you hoping that, you know, he's in a place that he can make an impact in some way, shape or form next weekend?
Yeah, I think that's what we've been missing, is options off the bench. Almost all season we've had a relatively strong 11, and there's been nothing to go to in terms of depth due to a dearth of injuries across the board. I think we've got options next week. I would probably start the same team today, barring Ridvan, the obvious one, back in at left back. I think he's been kept for that. The rest of them, yeah, I would be more than happy to go with that. And I genuinely feel come the 10th of April, about 10 o'clock, Rangers will be 8 points clear.
8 points clear? That's some shout. What gives you that confidence?
I don't think Celtic will win tomorrow. I think they've got a side that, do you know, Matt O'Reilly, great player, but ever since Atletico Madrid came in, he's not been the same player at all. I think their defence has finally been shown up for what it is. Joe Hart's retirement tour isn't going particularly well, and I can just see Livingston will get something tomorrow. The way they performed at Parkhead, they should have came away with something in that game and didn't. And yeah, I just think we'll win next week. We've got a midfield that can control the game now. That's where we've lacked it in the past. And then we'll go on to beat Dundee, and I think that'll be one hand on the trophy at that point.
You like a bold prediction here?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Andy's a man after my own heart. Say what you think, say it out loud, and have the courage of your convictions to stand by it. I go back to standing in this studio a few weeks ago. It's 2-2 Celtic and Livingston at Celtic Park in the Scottish Cup, and Joe Hart has to save with his foot to stop Livingston going 3-2 in front. And I know that their league form all season long has been pretty much abysmal. That's why they're 10 points adrift at the bottom of the league. But Celtic have to negotiate this game, and I wonder if they'll play Carter Vickers on that surface tomorrow, because if anything were to happen in the midst of a season where Carter Vickers has been plagued by injury, I don't think that Celtic would like to go to Ibrox minus Carter Vickers and possibly Callum McGregor as well.
Well, thank you to Andy. Just on that point, Gordon, how do you think Brendan Rodgers goes about his team selection for that game tomorrow, with the injuries and players coming back from injury, with it being the artificial surface as well?
I think the big question mark is what Hugh touched on there, Carter Vickers. Do you risk him tomorrow? Me personally, I think next week is too important. If there's any doubt at all, I don't. And now you can look back and say, well, without him, Celtic's defence isn't the greatest. They struggle a little bit without that leadership. But if you're a Celtic centre-half, I don't care, you can name the ones that they've signed, or, you know, Welsh and all these guys. If you're a Celtic half and you can't go to Livingston and play with Celtic centre-back, you shouldn't be there, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know how Brendan Rodgers will look at that, but middle to front, I think he'll play as strong as he possibly can, because as Andy said there, they can't afford to drop points tomorrow. They can't leave that gap. They've got to keep that pressure on. Rangers have thrown down the gauntlet this afternoon. It's up to Celtic to pick up the baton now and run with it tomorrow. I think he'll go with his strongest side. His big question mark is, does he risk his centre half on that pitch?
Let's hear a bit from Tony Docherty. I think he's been speaking to Roger Hanna about the Super Scoreboard Goal of the Week contenders.
Oh. Huge, absolutely massive win. And more important for me as manager, I couldn't be more proud of the players, because I think over a season, you look at games, you know, we've had a great 4-0 against St Mirren, a 4-1 against St Johnson, for example. But that one today is a different type of win, and a real, you know, a display of real mentality, resilience, togetherness. But for me, it just shows how much we're developing as a team, because there was that accusation earlier on in the season when we're dominating games, we don't win them. But to grind that out today and get a win, you know, one each and be brave, we made a tactical change at one each to go and win it. But the players need to take that on board, and they did it. And I thought they merited, you know, their bravery merited them going and getting that 3 points. It's typical VAR, isn't it? I thought it was going to ruin my day, but I think it was the right decision, because I think Ryan McGowan, when I see it back, Ryan McGowan prior to that pushes Arm Dolan into the net. So I thought it was the right decision, and I've got to commend the referee for standing by his decision. You know, so often you see, and it's a criticism, that games are getting refereed in the VAR studio. You know, that game was refereed by the referee, and he stuck by his decision that he was on the pitch, he felt it, he smelt it, and he made the right decision, I think. I know, it doesn't surprise me, Lyle Cameron doing that. I see him doing that during the week. His technique is fantastic, but to execute that skill on a pitch like that without taking a touch, have the wherewithal to see where the goalkeeper is,
I thought it was absolutely outstanding. And in a game that was probably, from our point of view, devoid of quality, that was a moment of real quality. And I hope you'll kind of wax lyrical on that.
You've got a goal of the week in Super Scoreboard on the Monday night, goal of the week?
I would go goal of the week. Don't get carried away.
Almost said goal of the season.
Oh,
there,
oh, did, didn't he?
But, you know, you've done a tremendous job. The choice of manager of the year at Fraser Wishart's absolutely magnificent affair.
He's not listening.
Is chosen by other managers. So they will assess the job that Tony Docherty has done in relation to what Philippe Clement has done, or Derek McInnes, or Brendan Rodgers, or anybody else. But the job he's done is more than satisfactory, whether or not he gets any award at all.
Yeah, a huge win in terms of pushing for the top six. There was that sort of scary moment they had towards the end, that VAR decision that almost gave St Johnstone a goal but didn't. But with Hibs losing today, Dundee winning, they'll fancy their chances of getting a top six place.
Well, I think so. When you find yourself in the space there just now, of course, I don't think they would have thought about that at the start of the season. But now you're there, of course, your eyes are fixed on a top six finish. And they're the favourites. They have got players at the top end of the pitch that can score valuable goals, and they can score the outstanding goals, as you've seen Lyle Cameron today. So, contender for goal of the week, Tony Dock, contender for manager of the year if he keeps going the way he's going.
And final contribution from Gordon DL. I just want to hear his voice crack from earlier on again.
No, he didn't look fit at all.
That is that will never get old, and I fear for you, because I think that is going to play over and over again. Just one of the many good things that happened today in Scottish football. How do you sum it all up, Hugh?
The big issues are starting to crystallise. Rangers go on top in front of Celtic. It's up to Celtic tomorrow. We've got arguments for and against at the Tony Macaroni Stadium, but the players cannot afford to let down Brendan Rodgers and the Celtic supporters. At the bottom, Aberdeen took a massive step away from trouble. The trouble now rests at the door of St Johnstone and Ross County, because they are fighting it out now to see who takes part in the relegation playoffs.
Yes, over to Celtic and Livingston tomorrow. Celtic seeing if they can go back on top of the Premiership. We'll give you all the reaction to that when we're back on Monday night. But thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for your calls. Thanks to Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL in the studio. And make sure to stick around, because it is the perfect way to spend your Saturday night on Easter weekend. It's the GBX.